Good morning, the bees are humming.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. I think we're on the air. Olive, bring me some coffee, please.
Oh, I was singing. Don't you know that song?
Good morning. I couldn't tell.
The bees are humming.
You feel pretty good. Do I have to feel that good?
Oh, yes, you have to.
You know, someone said to me, do you feel that good every morning? And I had to tell them the truth. I don't. And
well,
I don't feel too good this morning.
Why, what's the matter?
I thought I was going to get rid of this cold, and here I wake up with a coat in my nose.
Well, all I ask you is not to go near the children, dear.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. You know, the children come home today, and they're going to be home for the whole weekend, and Sunday I'd plan to take them down to the beach and kind of look around because it's going to be good weather over the weekend, you know.
I know it is, but you can't go to the beach Saturday because they have a play at school, dear.
Well, it's a funny thing, you know. I went out to the druggist near the studio, and I'm not going to mention these pills or what kind they are, but the druggist said, here's a bottle of pills, 20 pills in it, and if you take 2 5 times a day for 2 days, it'll cure your cold. So I took them all day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And now if I complete the day today, I think it'll cure my cold. And he said, take the bottle. It costs $1.39. And if it doesn't cure your cold, you don't owe me anything.
What a trusting soul, dear.
He is. And he's not making any profit, extra profit on it, because it's not a black market deal or anything. He says, if it cures your cold, come in and pay me for it.
Well, what does he get out of the deal?
He doesn't get anything. He just wants to use me as an ad, probably. And if I get the cold cured, I might mention that it's Dalapanis, brand, you know.
Well,
you know what kind of a brand that is, don't you?
Well, really. Well, does your cold feel any better from it?
No. It feels much better now, but it isn't cured yet. As you can probably tell, I'm a little nasal.
Well, you sound all right to me. Have some coffee. Do you want hot cakes, or what would you like this morning?
Yes, I'll have some hot cakes this morning with a little crisp bacon and fry it real well, you know.
All right, well, did you tell Olive?
I mean, almost burn it. Tell Olive to burn that Swift's premium bacon, how I love it.
All right, Olive, bacon for the boss, cook good.
That always kills me, and it always kind of gets me under the skin a little bit. All the women say that.
What, say
bacon
what?
Bacon for the boss, and it gets me good.
Why?
And all the characters that I know all pretend like they're the bosses, too. And after all, when it comes down to a family situation, who is the boss, really?
Well, I don't know. I think you are, darling. I don't think anybody else is the boss in this house,
yeah,
really
most,
and truly.
The most successful women, yes, I know. The most successful women, of course, are the women who make their husband think that he is the boss. Yes, he's the boss. He's going to do this and he's going to do that. And they usually do what they want to do after their wife has told them to do it.
Well, I think that's a very good idea, anyway.
Yes, it's
and
a very good idea.
Incidentally, will you go out to the garage and see if you can find the cat?
Go out where?
To the garage and see if you can find the cat. I just saw a mouse run by the service porch.
I'll go right out to the garage. Yes, of course, I'll be right back. But one little mouse won't hurt you, you know. How would you like to live in the melee where they're having a plague of mice at the moment?
Where on earth is Malay?
Well, the Malay is the wheat section of southeastern Australia, and it's about 4,000 square miles, and it's been devastated by mice. I thought probably you knew about that. And,
no.
They've devastated thousands of dollars worth of wheat, and all kinds of produce have been destroyed down there.
How frightful. Sounds like the Pied Piper of Hamelin, where the rats followed the piper out of town. Why, I didn't even know that these plagues really happen.
Oh, sure they do. And don't you tell the children that they don't, you know. History has been told many, many times in the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Remember the rat plague in Hamelin? And, of course, the Australian farmers can remember two similar mouse plagues that they had and within the last 60 years, too. The mice down there, for instance, have eaten wallpaper and lampshades and clothing and letters about to be posted and everything else, and now they're getting to where they're eating each other.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
This is supposed to be a sign that the plague is lessening or almost over.
Oh, you're beginning to make my flesh creep and my hair stand on end. Gee, I hope we never have one of those plagues here.
Your hair stand on end?
End,
did
yes.
You say?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very good.
Yes.
Well, there's one funny story. One funny story has come out of this. The mice ate the wooden leg of a man called David Strachan. I mention his name only because he's many thousand miles away and because it proves the story partially. It appears that he was in the habit of taking the leg off every night and kind of propping it up on a chair by his bedside and Each morning he noticed that there were little marks the mice had been nibbling at, and didn't worry him too much, and until they ate so much around the ankle that it was almost cut through, and he was afraid to put the leg on, and he was afraid it might collapse under him or something.
Oh, that's not funny. I'm scared of death. You better run for Smokey and get rid of that mouse quick.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And while you're gone, I'm going to give out 3 very good quick recipes I've come across.
The next noise you hear will be that of my chair backing up.
Oh, Mitchie, really? You do that all the time on this breakfast in this breakfast room, and you ruin the cloth every time you do it, dear. Will you please lift it up when you move away from the breakfast table?
There's no more cloth under where my chair's been sliding.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll give my recipe out. It's a very good one. The first dish is cream tuna pie. You line a dish with pastry and brown in the oven. Then you let it cool. Now take a can of tuna and a can of mushroom soup and mix them together. Throw into the pie crust and heat in the oven. With 2 cans and a package of prepared pastry, Nick, you have a delicious dinner for unexpected company.
Well,
dear?
Yeah, I got that. You know what I should have done? I should have stayed out there and made you go on for a long, long time, because it's 9:23, and I should have let you go on for 9:23 and gone out and listened to the program on the air in the garage. I should have done it out there, and we'd have had a big time. You
I'm
on the
about
air?
To bop you over the head, my fine feathered friend, at this time in the morning. Have some more coffee. Did you get rid of Smokey?
You know, grammatically speaking, and as a student of literature, do you know what fine feathered friend represents?
No.
That
no.
is called in literature a phrase of alliteration.
Oh, really?
It reminds me of a phrase from Idylls of the King. Lynette, I think it was. In Lancelot Nilette, her nose was tip-tilted like the petal of a flower. See, tip-tilted, fine-feathered friend. You get the idea?
Oh, you're wonderful.
Phrase of alliteration.
Oh, you're
incidentally, great. While I was out in the garage, I put Smokey to work, and she seems to be doing all right. But did you know that there's a whole brood out there? Did
you
mention it?
I know. She had 5 kittens the other day, and I don't know what the children are going to all do with them. There's 2 white ones that are rather cute. I'd like to keep those. They're awesome.
You're not going to keep them now.
Yes, I am. I like
Listen,
the kids.
You've got a dog and a cat, and you've got a bird upstairs, and me. Now, how many more serpents do
I
you want around the house?
I have 2 dogs with you, dear.
Oh, dear. Now, let's keep it clean. The FCC might object. Anyway, I heard the last part of your recipe, and it sounds kind of good. When are we going to have it?
Well, I
what was it first? Let's go back to
no,
it.
No, I'm not going to tell
All
you
right.
anymore. The next time the cook's out and I'm in a frantic hurry, these recipes today are for emergencies like that.
They are.
And I want to tell my listeners that a can of mushroom soup used just as it comes from the can makes a perfect cream sauce.
Camel soup, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So why fiddle around with cream sauces when you can use this? Throw small cooked onions into the cream sauce, and you have a delicious vegetable, creamed onions, and you can also use peas and so on the same way, you know. You just
well, you're making me hungry already, even though I'm having pancakes and coffee this morning. And I'm glad you agreed with me that camel soup, because how I loved Amos and Andy. When they come on, they eat bloody kingfish and things like that.
Do
that
Amos and Andy
good?
For me.
See here, bloody.
Well, Andy, I tell you.
Well, that's not good. It's not bad anyway. Say, how about telling them about the grilled tomatoes that you fix? You know, that's something that I really like, especially with steak.
Well, the easiest thing in the world. You just cut the tomatoes in half.
The what?
The tomatoes
yes.
in half. You spread with mayonnaise and sprinkle with grated cheese. You shove it under the grill and you brown it.
You do what?
You shove it under the grill. Or you put it under the grill and you brown it. And watch them carefully so they don't over-brown. Oh, they only take a few minutes to do.
Now, that would be very funny for the Joey Browns, wouldn't it? Not to over-brown.
Oh, Mitchie.
You know,
oh, that's awful.
I guess it's bad. Jack is laughing at it. Imagine having to sit here for 30 minutes with Jack Fredericks at the controls. He's slumming this morning. You know that, don't you?
Wasn't he a big football star at one time?
He's big right now, and he was a big football star, too. Of course, everybody knows Jack. Jack was one of our college mates out at UCLA and also one of our professional, shall I say, stars as well as moguls. You know what a mogul is.
No, tell me. Explain a mogul. I'd like to know what a mogul is.
A mogul has two references, usually a fellow that runs a club or an outfit or a fellow who puts up the money. Regardless of which you prefer, he's still the mogul or kind of the boss man of an outfit. And Jack has been very instrumental in creating a great deal of interest in professional football in Southern California.
Of mogling things around a little, in other words.
No, that wasn't very good. But anyway, getting back, that got me off on a tangent again. Professional football, you know, is going to have a big year out here. I have an idea that we're going to have our local clubs again, are we, Jack? Just kind of give me the okay. Yes, we're going to have local clubs again, and then there's the Rams and the Dons. And with all the stars that they're digging up, it's certainly going to be a terrific year from
where
a
they
professional
digging them up
football
from?
Standpoint. Not digging them up, I mean signing them. You know,
I see, yes.
They've signed a lot of stars. Incidentally, when I was talking to some of the boys the other night at that testimonial dinner for Bill Spaulding, I noticed that I brought up the subject of several of the stars that the Los Angeles Rams have signed. And it's my understanding that there have been a couple of football players who have not been announced by the Los Angeles Rams. One, for instance, Jerry Cowie, the great Notre Dame fullback that we mentioned some time ago. And several times, Dan Reeves, I understand Reeves has announced at public gatherings that he doesn't want to divulge the name of a man who has also been signed, who is a fullback. And he said, all I can tell you, fellas, is that he played against Michigan and Notre Dame and was the best fullback in the Midwest. Well, by simple deduction, I put two and two together and imagined that it might be a fellow from Iowa. So if some of the other fellas wanted to do a little more detectiving, they might find out who the fella is. A fullback from Iowa will play with the Los Angeles Rams. And I predict, as Drew Pearson says.
Yes, I think it's wonderful. What else do you predict in the sports front, old boy?
Getting off the sports front, may I?
Oh, get off any place you want. You'd be delighted. Take a bus.
Give me a transfer. Here's an interesting item in Time magazine. Do you ever read Time?
Once in a while. I pick it up when I've got the time.
Yeah, it's about a New York clam digger named Cornelius J. Brone. I don't know whether it's Brone or Breen. It's B-R-O-E-N-E, and he doesn't tell us how to pronounce his name, so my apologies if it happens to be incorrect.
Granted.
What was that?
I said granted.
Oh, granted, yes. Anyway, Cornelius is suing the government for $2,000, or a little more, as a matter of fact, $2,133, which is the money he discovered in the pockets of a dead man that he picked up in Great South Bay.
Was there any chance of his getting it? I should have thought that this would have belonged to the government if the man had no relatives.
Well, he's got the lawyers in a stew there. Cornelius bases his action or his claim to it on a novel legal theory that he's figured out. And he says that towing a floating corpse to shore is as much a salvage operation as towing an abandoned ship to safety or something like that.
Oh, do they get money for that, too?
Well, of course, under certain conditions. And I haven't got time to go into that now, dear, but anyhow, the subject of things thrown into or brought in by the sea is very interesting, and I'll go into that with you someday.
Oh, well, speaking of the sea, reminds me to tell the people about the Ambassador Beach Club.
Oh, by all means.
Oh, too. It's such a healthy way for the whole family to spend the summer, and it's such fun, too. Now, don't be afraid to take your kids. The lifeguards will look after them and keep them out of your hair for you. And they can do all the screaming and yelling and sand throwing they want over in the wonderful children's playground. Why, it's just a place where they won't interfere with your sunbathing.
Well, how about giving them the phone number and tell them how to get to the club? Suppose you do that, too.
Oh, yes. The phone number is Prospect 5128. Prospect 5128. And that is the Ambassador Beach Club, right where Pico meets the Pacific. Now, that's very easy to remember, isn't it?
And another thing I should mention is that circus room. It's a wonderful, entertaining place and a lovely bar, if anybody happens to be interested in anything like that.
Coca-Cola's.
That's right. And it's a nice place to go, but you almost forgot the most important fact.
What was
and that is that it's only $60 for a family membership. You know, Bob Walker asked me whether the $60 represented an individual membership or a family membership. And that's for the whole family, for 60 simoleons, 60 round silver dollars. You can get a membership until October the 1st, and that's a wonderful price.
Is it all right if you pay it in paper money, too?
Yes, you can pay it in
You know who I saw on the street? yesterday and said he might come over and have breakfast with us.
Is this a gag?
No, no. I met somebody on the street yesterday, and they said they may come over and have breakfast with us.
You met somebody, and they said?
Yes. Well, they had somebody with them.
Oh, they had somebody with them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, who are they?
Well, it was Buster Keaton.
No.
Yes, I did. I met him, and he said if he could get by, he'd come in and have bacon and eggs with us this morning. So I said, well, come on right over if you get us.
This morning?
I said
I'd like
to see
Buster.
He could come over this morning and get in with us if he wanted.
You know, I haven't seen him since I played baseball against him. Did you know I played baseball against him?
Oh, does he play baseball, too?
Does he play baseball? He was a great baseball player and could have been a professional star if he hadn't been a great comedian.
Well, what happened?
Well, he became a great comedian, and then he spent a lot of money outfitting a bunch of boys that wanted to play baseball, and he used to have his own baseball team. Well, Ernie Orsatti used to play with us there out at Sawtell there, and we had a lot of fun with him.
Oh, you did with Buster?
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? I didn't know.
Somebody
oh, this is a gag.
Well, hiya there.
How are you, Bus?
Nice to see you. Come on in and have
Sit
breakfast
right
with
there,
us.
Buster.
I don't want anything but just coffee.
Oh,
just
good.
Coffee.
Come on, we were just talking about you.
Sit right down here, Buster. My wife... is this a gag on me or something, dear?
No, I told you I met him yesterday, and he said he might come on in and have coffee with us.
Was this a casual meeting, Bus, or...
Absolutely.
I mean, did you happen to just meet my wife, or do you see her occasionally? Now, let's get down to the facts on this thing.
No, I was inspecting garages.
No, that isn't the way she says it. How do you say it?
Garage.
Yes? Garage.
Bus, tell us, let's tell Benny about what great ball players we were, shall we?
Oh, yes.
Oh, this is going to be a nice clam bake. Go ahead, boy.
You know who is probably listening in, and that's Joey Brown, and he tells me his baseball team was better than yours.
No, he never beat us.
That's wonderful.
Bus, it's a great pleasure to have you here, and I mean that sincerely because I've always admired you as a fella, and not only as a ball player, but as an actor and as a gentleman. In the long run, and it's very seldom that we have a guest come on the show that we don't know about, that I don't know about. My wife evidently knew about it, and let me say that our door swings two ways for you, and come on in and tell me something about yourself. You married or single, or what's the story?
Oh, I'm married.
You're married. Yeah. You have a very charming wife, I'll bet.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, you've seen my wife, but I've never seen yours. Why don't you bring her over sometime?
Oh, she's standing in the doorway, dear.
She
Why
is.
Doesn't she come on in?
Oh,
sure.
Very lovely,
well,
too.
Hi there. How are you? Isn't that
She doesn't
swell?
Want to come in, eh?
Oh, she's bashful.
She is, eh? The bashful type.
How long have you been married now, Buzz?
7 years.
Oh, have you? That's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, I'm so happy because everybody talks about marriages in Hollywood not lasting, and I think that they last just as long here as they do anywhere else. What do you think about it?
Yeah.
Hmm?
About right.
Because everybody says, oh, they're terrible. They don't do this and they don't do that in Hollywood. But I think they're pretty good out here. Hmm?
Bus, suppose you pull your chair up a little and we'll get Olive to bring you some pancakes and coffee. Or would you just going to still settle for just coffee?
Just coffee.
Just coffee, all right. You've had your breakfast then.
I have.
Well, of course, these Sperry pancake flours is something, pancake flour that you make pancakes out of is delicious, you know. Not the flour itself in its raw form, but the pancakes after you make them up. And if you'll pull your chair up and have a cup of coffee, my wife's going to go on, and she usually tells the gals what to do from a horoscope. And I'm kidding when I say horoscope, you know.
Well, why don't you talk about the weather forecast first?
The weather forecast?
Yeah.
Yes. Would you like to know what the weather is, Buster?
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait, can you?
I'm sure that all the men want to know what the weather's going to be like. Anyway, don't be surprised if it sprinkles a little today. We were supposed to get a little sprinkle last night, and there was a little rain last night in the outlying districts. Where those outlying districts are, I'm still trying to find out, but there was a little rain. And today, we might have it partly cloudy this morning, and there's going to be a little change in temperature. Yesterday, we had a top of 71 and a low of 56, which compared favorably with most of the places throughout the country. Back in Atlanta, it went up to 85. And in the Middle West, it stayed pretty even. For instance, in Chicago, it didn't vary but 10 degrees all day long.
I'm sure glad to know that.
Say, do you know anything about the garden, Bus?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
I'm a gentleman farmer.
Are you really?
Oh,
well,
what do you raise?
Oh, gophers and...
Oh, that's fine. That's what I've been raising.
Dandelions. And...
That's good.
That's great. Well, I must tell the time... right now it's 9:10, and Mrs. Mike is going to tell you about gardening, or would you like to tell about gardening, one of life's great mysteries, you know?
Well, Yes, I think if I don't go to the studio today, I'll get out in the garden and do some weeding.
Did you ever hear the familiar jingle rhyme for gardeners that I think Howard Hames wrote? Dig the soil, pen the pub, plant the earliest seed, be ready for the first thing up. Didn't rhyme or anything, but you remember something
well,
like that,
well, there's another piece to that, isn't
there? Some energetic weed or something like
that's
that.
Some energetic weed. Be
ready for the first thing up, some energetic weed. Okay, John Karen, go ahead.
Well, it's a mighty familiar sentiment to every gardener, and it's funny how you just fall for these weeds every time. You see a tender little leaf sticking up out of the ground, and you think, aha, my seeds are coming up. And you water it with great care, and you nurse the little plants along tenderly. Actually help it grow, and every time it turns out to be just a weed. Oh, it gets you every single time. But you can't just seem to be able to predict whether it's going to be a flower or a weed. That's the bad part about it.
No, I guess you can't. You know, it's always so nice to hear you carry on so much about your gardening. It makes me very domesticated, or domestic, should I say. Have you got any hot gardening tips to pass out to some of my gardener pals?
Well, I certainly have. At least, I think I have. You put tuberous stem flowers into warm water.
Tuberous stem or tuberous stem?
Tuberous.
Oh, yes, tuberous
stemmed flowers into warm water. You know what tuberous flowers are.
Yes, I love tuberous begonias especially.
Oh, the ones with the thick, hollow stems like dahlias and iris and gladiolas, etc. You know, most of those. And you'll find that the flower will suck up a bigger quantity of warm water and will last much longer. Now, remember, the water should be warm and not boiling hot, you know?
Well, that's a very good tip, warm
Isn't
water.
It?
I didn't know that. I know that warm water is better for dirt. As a matter of fact, I use it on the children more often. Say, I gave you a rhyme a moment ago, and yesterday afternoon, Shimmy Shimer said to me, what's all this about your jingle contest? He said, I've got a very cute little thing for you that has nothing to do with Benny and Mike on KFVB between 8:30 and 9 each morning, Monday through Friday. But it's about that car driving gag. You know, I told him that you ought to teach someone to drive by letting him loose in the driveway.
Yes.
Teach him to shift the gears and all that. He said, here's a good slogan to remember, and maybe Mayor Bowron should adopt it or something. I quote Shimmy Shimer. Maybe he got it from Shakespeare or Emerson or somebody like that. Drive carefully. If you're careless, you may be carless.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that
that's
good?
That's awfully good.
That's
very good. Very good.
If he ever loses his job down there making opticals, we can probably give him a job writing lyrics for us.
Yes, yes.
Don't you think that'll be a good idea? All right. Now we're going to go back to boiling flowers. We're not boiling flowers at all, dear.
Why don't you tell them about what's going on at your studio?
What's going on at our studio?
Mm-hmm.
Well, before I tell them what's going on at our studio, I might say to our friends out here in Beverly Hills, and I'm sure in some of the outlying districts, that there's a picture called That's My Man, Frank Borzeghi production that's showing, and I think it's still playing here at Warner's Beverly Theater, but anyhow, start looking for it and be sure to catch it. It's a great love story with Don Ameche and Catherine McLeod, a great racehorse story. And Roscoe Carnes, a good friend of ours. Bus, I think Ross is a good friend of yours, too. And it's a very entertaining picture, so I advise everyone to drop around to your neighborhood theater and see Don Ameche in Frank Borzeghi's production, That's My Man, with Catherine McLeod.
Well, I want to go and see it again just to take another look at that beautiful, modern hilltop home in the picture. Maybe I can steal some of the ideas for when we build. You know, I just love the idea of building around a central pool like they did. And the interiors and the furnishings are really out of this world.
Well, there's a fellow who lives down the street from us who's going to like you very much because his name is Jimmy Sullivan. He was the art director. You know, art directors are not given enough credit for the way motion pictures look. And I don't think Jimmy Sullivan would like you to steal his ideas either, dear, because he designed it. He designed all the sets in that picture. You know, James Sullivan is one of our famous Hollywood art directors, if I may give him his full title. And one way you can tell that these sets and That's My Man are good is that even art directors are talking about them, and the comment is great. Incidentally, we might get Jimmy to do our house one day, if we ever build one out on that lot we've got out there.
If ever we can afford it, is what you mean, dear, the way things are at the moment.
Well, what does the horoscope say? Are we going to have a lot, or you suppose you tell us at 15 seconds before 5 minutes of nine whether we're going to build on that lot or not?
Well, you can look forward to a wonderful day. All is well with romance and domestic life. There will be a pleasant surprises and parties. Terrific opportunities will be in the air. So carefully analyze everything in case there is some good in it for you. Bright, quick-tempered babies will be born today, and they're destined for great success.
Well, maybe we should have timed it to have a child born today or something.
Yeah, we have enough children.
Yeah, well, it all sounds too good to be true about the children that are going to be born today.
You know, dear, once a while a day comes along like this, so perfect that we should try to make the most of it.
Well, if I'm keeping the score right, I think you have to pick a marriage partner for the sign of Leo next. Is that right?
See, you keep tabs on this
and make sure
I don't leave anybody out.
Leo and Libra and Taurus. I always remember Taurus because a lot of the fellas throw him around the studio.
Jeepers, you know, people write in such angry letters if I forget any of these things. Now, people in this sign have very high ideals of a perfect mate. And so they must be sure and pick someone who comes up to these standards in every way. Don't settle for someone who seems less than perfect to you in some ways. However, much in love you may be in other ways, if you do, you'll start nagging and criticizing after marriage, and it will seem sarcastic and cruel to your mate. And both of you will end up unhappy. So my advice to you is work out very clearly what you want in a mate and keep looking till you find exactly the right person.
Well, the person might go on looking for years that way. Keep looking until you find the right person, you know. My advice also, I might pass along, is don't always look for the bad faults, because you're going to find them if you look for them in everybody.
Well, that's right.
None of us are perfect, you know, and who was it? In one of the magazines I read a long time ago, they said that women are divided into two classes, the careless ones who lose two gloves, and then the careful ones who only lose one glove.
That's fine.
I thought that was kind of clever.
That reminds me of Cass Daly's wonderful line. I know marriage is a matter of give and take, he says, but so far I haven't been able to find anybody who'll take what I have to give. Isn't that cute?
I'm going to remain silent on that and hear the roars as they come in. What about young people? What's your idea on young people on marriage?
Well, you
being
know,
one. I covered that up nicely.
Oh, well, young people are in too much of a rush to get married. I think a high school girl may be having a marvelous time dating a smooth young man and dancing, etc. And she figures marriage will be like this, only more so.
But she soon finds out, I'll bet you, that she's wrong, and that is all that she's looking for, or something.
Oh, especially when she has a family. She's not going to go out dancing much then. Here's a cute poem by Ethel DeVito called There's No Place But Home.
No Place But Home, that's
mm-hmm.
a switch.
A mother's life is no bed of nightclubs. No nosegays of foreign affairs. She's hardly through staying at home with her children before she's staying at home with theirs.
You better keep that when Michelle grows up and read it to her, because my experience with young ladies, when they get around that age, they all get wild ideas. So you might keep that.
I will at that. I certainly don't want to choose her husband for her, but I want to try and teach her how to choose wisely herself.
We haven't got much time because we've only got 1 minute before we go off the air, but there was a question proposed in the paper the other day. Do children get their fears and habits from their parents? And I think we should discuss it one of these days, and I'm going to remind you of it. But in the meantime, we've only got 30 seconds before we sign off. We'll be back with you again Monday at 8:30.
And I want the people not to forget to send in their jingles about Benny and Mike on KFBD for a present from Benny Barnes, part of the town.
Remember, it's Benny and Mike, and not Mike and Benny. I mean, she's got to get first.
And this is Benny saying, second thoughts are often wisest. Goodbye now, this is Benny.
And Mike, goodbye now.
Goodbye.
And that
was Buster Keaton.
Goodbye now.